The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, condemned the idea that we should do evil that good may come. People ask an expectant mother how her baby is doing. They do not ask how her fetus is doing, or her blob of tissue, or her parasite. But that is what her baby becomes as soon as the child is declared to be unwanted. In both cases, we try to make human life into something less than human, simply according to our will. When Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973, striking down abortion laws all over the country, even some supporters of abortion were embarrassed by the decision as a matter of constitutional law. John Hart Eli, for instance, wrote in the Yale Law Review, "What is frightening about Roe is that this super-protected right is not inferable from the language of the Constitution. The framers' thinking respecting the specific problem in issue, any general value derivable from the provisions they included, or the nation's governmental structure." The decision, he said, is not constitutional law and gives almost no sense of an obligation to try to be. The federal government should not play any role in the abortion issue, according to the Constitution. Apart from waiting forever for Supreme Court justices who will rule in accordance with the Constitution, however, Americans who care about our fundamental law and or are concerned about abortion do have some legislative recourse. Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to strip the federal courts, including the Supreme Court, of jurisdiction over broad categories of cases. In the wake of the 1857 Dred Scott decision, abolitionists spoke of depriving the courts of jurisdiction in cases dealing with slavery. The courts were stripped of authority over Reconstruction policy in the late 1860s. If the federal courts refuse to abide by the Constitution, the Congress should employ this constitutional remedy. By a simple majority, Congress could strip the federal courts of jurisdiction over abortion, thereby overturning the obviously unconstitutional Roe. At that point, the issue would revert to the states, where it constitutionally belongs, since no appeal to federal courts on the matter could be heard. I have proposed exactly this in H.R. 300. Let us remember, though, that the law can do only so much. The law isn't what allowed abortion. Abortions were already being done in the 1960s against the law. The courts came along and conformed to the social and moral changes that were taking place in society. Law reflects the morality of the people. Ultimately, law or no law, it is going to be up to us as parents, as clergy, and as citizens in the way we raise our children, how we interact and talk with our friends and neighbors, and the good example we give to bring about changes to our culture toward greater respect for life. To those who argue that we cannot allow the states to make decisions on abortion since some will make the wrong ones, I reply that that is an excellent argument for world government. For how can we allow individual countries to decide on abortion or other moral issues if some may make the wrong decisions? Yet the dangers of a world government surely speak for themselves. Let us therefore adopt the constitutional position, one that is achievable and can yield good results, but that shuns the utopian idea that all evil can be eradicated. The Founding Fathers' approach will not solve all problems, and it will not be perfect, but anyone expecting perfection in this world is going to be consistently disappointed. The same holds true for issues like prayer in schools. Such issues were never meant to be decided by federal judges. The whole point of the American Revolution was to vindicate the principle of local self-government. The British had denied that the colonial legislatures were exclusively endowed with the power to make political decisions for their peoples. The colonists, on the other hand, insisted that they would be governed only by their elected representatives. That remained the operative principle in the Articles of Confederation, as well as the Constitution. Local legislatures are presumed to hold authority, except in areas in which they have expressly given up that authority. We have come to consider it normal for 9 judges in Washington to decide on social policies that affect every neighborhood, family, and individual in America. One side of the debate, hopes the nine will impose one set of values, and the other side favors a different set. The underlying premise that this kind of monolith is desirable, or that no alternative is possible, is never examined, or at least not nearly as often as it should be.